Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's September 3rd, 2025. I am Sean Ross Sapp. I will be joined momentarily by Alex Pawlowski. We're here to talk about the September 3rd AEW Dynamite, as well as big news surrounding AEW All Out that the free tier of FightfulSelect.com had just shortly before AEW announced it. We'll be talking about that momentarily. Of course, please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Even if it is on the free tier, go ahead, do it. We had some good news that you guys can check in on, even from the free tier, and kind of make your decision on if you want to hang around there. But by God, you're here right now. Leave a thumbs up on the video. We have interviews with Hobbs out this week, Kazarian over on Overbooked. They got like Dijak and Bishop Dyer, a.k.a. Baron Corbin, Deonna Purrazzo, Steve Macklin. We are talking to more talent than any outlet in wrestling. We have more interviews for you guys than any outlet in wrestling history. And in about 8 days, I believe it is, we will also have more Freddy Got Fingered reviews than any other wrestling website in history, Alex. It's set September 11th.
That's right.
The most impactful moment on a September 11th ever. The Freddy Got Fingered review on Fightful, executive produced by me. I will be helping kick off the show. Alex, it's 8 days away from your big day.
It is.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, no pressure to know that the integrity of this website that I have come to call home for the past almost a decade is riding entirely on my review of this movie from 24 years ago. A website, mind you, that really doesn't deal in movies. It's more about wrestling. But this particular movie review is so important to you that you decided to spend way more money than you should have.
Oh, yeah.
On puppets. The original deal was, I said, I will review that movie for $1,000. Mm-hmm. And you said, no, I would rather spend $1,100 on puppets.
Are you familiar with the improv comedy show Very Important People?
I have heard of it, but I've not watched
it. It's fantastic. Vic Michaelis is a comedy genius, but there was a character there named Tommy Shrigley. And he came upon some money, and she goes, how did you get that money? And he's like, oh, I found it in the park while I was working out.
Yeah.
She goes, you found $100,000 in the park? And he goes, yeah. She goes, well, what did you do with it? And he says, I invested it, and I turned it into $16,000. That's how I feel right now.
Very good. Yeah.
I am investing $1,150, and I am turning it into several hundred dollars.
Yes. Yeah.
Send in your super chats. Send in your humper chats. I will be there throughout this show. Mm-hmm. Alex, what do you think the possibility is that TNA looks at the fact that we are doing a TBD time and just says, you know what, we're going to throw our Impact show on at 3 p.m?
I mean, earlier, do it lunchtime. You know, like get people during their lunch breaks on a Thursday can tune in and watch whatever they got going on over there. The Buy Elegances, I'm sure, will have a lot to say. You know, it's stuff like that.
So in order to promote this review, this Sunday, I will be releasing on the main channel the Hot Rod review that motivated this.
Okay.
It is coming out. I'm torn. When do you guys want that to release? Do you want it earlier in the afternoon? I mean, listen, we got to compete with football now, but it will be, you know what? I should probably just release it like at noon, and then people can watch it whenever the hell they want. That's doesn't good. Need to be like a live stream along.
A live stream thing. No.
You don't need to do a premiere for it or anything.
Yeah.
Alex, you say that we don't deal in movies. We have literally dozens of movies.
I know. We have far more wrestling reviews than we do movie reviews.
No Holds Barred, The Marine Six, Bourbon Commando, Playing with Fire, Mr. Nanny, Baywatch, Abducted in Plain Sight.
Yeah.
12 Rounds 2, Santa's Sleigh, Santa's Little Helper, They Live, Money Play. Allison Kay has reviewed some movies with us.
Wow.
Gail Kim reviewed a movie for Fightful at one point.
Right. Like, right.
There we go. I guess I could just release it tomorrow as well. So
you could.
Maybe I'll do that. But if you're here, leave a super chat, leave a humper chat. Help me from losing my ass on this. Losing my ass.
Losing your
ass. And leave a thumbs up. We would greatly appreciate such a thing. By the way, we are on podcast platforms everywhere. And I have been over on Facebook debunking all kinds of crazy news, Alex.
Yeah.
You know the news that I debunked yesterday?
Please tell me.
That Shad Gaspard said he would like to wrestle Gunther. Now, for a variety of reasons, that isn't accurate.
Did he perhaps say that several years ago?
Nope.
Oh.
In fact, it was JTG that said it.
Oh.
Which opened up a whole host of other problems.
Yeah.
As I just poured water all over myself. That's fun. But, oh man, AEW Dynamite. How'd you feel about this show, Alex?
I like the main event direction that it appears to be going in, because that's been my thing for a while. Is the character like Kyle Fletcher should think, why don't I have all the belts? And, him just basically deciding, you know, as the representative of Don Callis's rage and vengeance, that he's going to take out all the top dogs in AEW. That makes a lot of sense to me. I enjoyed that post-match beatdown. There's some really cool stuff on tap moving forward, some good stories brewing, and some great matches to be had in the afternoon of September 20th.
Also, my friend, Follow the Revolution says, Sean, maybe the parody page of MJF, that was wild. Yeah, so that page, I had a number of people being like, oh my God, the MJF page is posting about you. And I'm like, guys, I know that man. Like, that isn't him. I've interviewed him like 10 times. Like, it's not him. He told me personally, not him. He's tried to contact Facebook to get rid of it. It's somebody cosplaying as him, knowing that he doesn't like it. By the way, Maria Kanellis also has not had access to her Facebook for a number of years. Mm-hmm. So I'm stomping out that type of stuff over there. But let's talk about AEW Dynamite. We have Gabe Kidd kicking off, and he's interrupted by Darby, and all hell breaks loose. You get the Ops, you get Hook popping up,
yeah,
the Death Riders, Willow coming out of nowhere, all that good stuff. Hook took a sweet time, and then we got what you and I have specifically been calling for quite some time, and I'm very happy about. That is the Ops running out. Now, there's a lot to unpack here, and we will get to Hook and the Ops momentarily, but this ended with Darby putting Gabe Kidd in a body bag and dragging him behind a truck to...
We don't know.
We don't know, but Darby came back later. So
yeah, Darby did come back later. He must have dropped him off somewhere.
Let me tell you, the streets of Philly are not well taken care of.
No, they're not well paved.
There are potholes everywhere.
No, not exactly paved with gold or the streets of Philadelphia. Bruce Springsteen had quite a hit with the streets of Philadelphia. I don't remember there being a lot of lines in that song about the pothole problem.
It's bad.
But there is indeed a big pothole problem on the streets of Philadelphia. And so I'm hoping that Gabe Kidd is all right. Darby basically becoming the dirtiest player in the game is a nice little wrinkle to him. Like, absolutely. Like, you are twice my size, so I'm going to gouge out your eyes if I have the opportunity to do so. Also, I drive a Ford Super Duty, which is not the kind of car I would expect Darby Allin to drive. And then I keep chloroform in the back and a body bag attached to a chain just in case this were to happen. You know what I mean? And I like the idea of like, okay, well, if it was just me versus Gabe Kidd, he'd kill me. However, I have chloroform, so I win. That's it. That's who Darby Allin has become in his quest for righteousness. I just hope that Gabe Kidd is alive and well.
I wonder what kind of car Darby would drive.
I don't know. I mean, you don't need a truck that big to haul a skateboard.
I kind of feel like he'd just drive a dune buggy around, you know?
Yeah, you know what? He'd like figure out a way to get a street legal dune buggy and just drive that around everywhere.
Tom LaValle says, come on, everybody, give me a little clap. Good old VIP reference there. SRS losing his arse like you to puppet supremacy. Listen, I hope.
Somebody said a beat up Datsun. Like a small pickup truck. You know what he should? A beat up old Toyota, but he spray painted over the T and the O and the T and the A, and it just says yo on the back. That's who I believe Darby. I went to high school with a lot of guys who could have easily become a Darby Allin if they were, you know, invincible. But they were guys who liked to do tricks on their dirt bikes and stuff, and they definitely drove little beat up, beat to shit Datsun pickups.
I think that he would probably drive like a Honda CRX.
Okay. Okay.
Or maybe like a Chevette that is just shockingly taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
You know what I mean?
It's immaculate.
You know? Yes.
No.
And you're
food
like,
or
how?
Drink in the
like
car.
He has his parts imported from Brazil where they made plenty of them.
Yeah.
There you go. But a CRX seems like something that he would drive, like a very, very put together CRX.
Yeah.
So we also get some answers on the Hook Ops situation, finally, because this is what I have been so excited for. Now, first, Jambeard says maybe Darby uses Gabe to blackmail Mox into having the all-out match, but do it as a coffin match. I think that is a great idea to have a coffin match.
Sure.
Those two. I think that is a phenomenal idea.
I mean,
but
Darby's only got one loss in coffin matches. He's still doing pretty well. I would think he'd go back to that well again.
Brian more or less says AEW falling back into gang wars more than normal. They certainly are. But I mean, they're also emerging out of Death Riders, and I think this is kind of the way to finish that out. But
yeah,
we'll see. It's not as egregious as it used to be, despite the prominence of Death Riders. But what we did get, as I've brought up three times,
yes,
ops hook and the answers associated with it. And Powerhouse Hobbs is very much, why he say fuck me for? What did I do? I just helped out. Like, and yeah, he said, I've always had your back, because Hook said, you didn't even wait for my body to get cold. But granted, if he was going to be out this long,
right,
Joe made the right decision.
Yeah.
Says, but also, Samoa Joe doesn't believe that Hook was ready for it.
Yeah. Well, he says, you weren't here. He stepped up. What do the ops do? The ops take advantage of opportunities. It's right there in the name. I mean, I'm pretty sure ops stands for opportunities. The opportunities. That's the full name of their faction is the opportunities. And so they take advantage of them. And I understand Hook's complaint, but he has to see reason. When presented, well, I thought in a very level-headed take by Joe. You know what I mean? And there's extra stuff to it. The reason why he was replaced was a practical reason. We had a shot at the trio's titles, and you weren't healthy. Everything else comes later. But I also like that we both hate the Death Riders. Can we at least work together on this? Even if we're not trios champs together, it works.
I am.
I know what it actually stands for, guys. I was making a joke. It's not opportunities. It's a possum. It's the opossum.
So I am excited to see this because whoever Hook goes up against with in this scenario, I think is going to be beneficial for him. Yeah. And since FightfulSelect.com reported that he had re-signed for multiple years, they got him this new, very cool track, which I kind of like it because the ops kind of stepped on his track as well.
Yeah. The thing is, he can't sprint down to the ring to back somebody. He's got a stroll. Like, yeah, when you have that music, you can't. There's no way that you can sprint to it. You have to stroll.
You do. You know? And I have been waiting for, like, the next step of Hook for a long time, and I think this is finally it. I think we are there, and it's going to happen, and I'm very excited for it because Hobbs and Samoa Joe, like, are established, like, very established, especially Joe, former world champion, and Hook working with him, and Samoa Joe saying, like, one day you're going to need our help, and we're going to be there for you whether you want it or not. Right. I was like, okay, that's cool as well. But I'm glad we're getting some progression on this that we've been waiting months for.
True.
Months for. Now, also, at the request of Taz, they moved his ceremony, so to speak, to a social segment. Mm-hmm. I am such an ECW guy, especially that. Like, I didn't get to really watch ECW until the TNN era, and he was the man as soon as that started. So. Yeah. I was hooked on Taz. Loved it. Hugely influential in my life. I've been fortunate enough to speak with him when Fightful first started. Yeah. And dude is so full of knowledge. But this is very, very cool. I like that they pushed it back so we could have some more family friends there as well. But I also love that the 2300 Arena, like, embraces this history. Because clearly, under different ownership, it looks different amenities. But they very much know what they are known for and know where their bread is buttered. And I like that as well.
I agree. It was a wonderful segment. I really liked it. And you could tell Taz was totally blindsided by it and was having a lot of fun with it, but definitely emotional about it. But I really wanted him to, like, you know, raise his jersey to the rafters, you know, number 13, and leave it up there. An orange and black jersey just says Taz on the back and number 13. I think
if you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think that'll work out really well for them. And they could keep it there and everyone could look up when they're going to see other things, the 2300 Arena, and go, hey, retired his number. Good for him. Yeah.
We've got Dante. Actually, we got Orion Ben saying Taz's three sons on the screen with godmother Renee. Yeah. Brian more or less says, like Joe being the adult saying, I know you're mad, but you're still my boy. Joe knows people don't think straight when they're mad. You know what? That's a very good point. Like true. Joe yeah. was like, Joe understood what yeah. was going on there. Mm-hmm. Uncultured Gamer says on catch up, but Sean revealing to me that he's dropout subscribers and all time moment for me. Hey, I try to support good content. I don't feel like it would be right for me to sit here and say, hey guys, support Fightful Select, if I didn't also support the content right. that, I really admire, and I love Dropout. I think they're really good. I think they're brilliant.
Yeah.
Jambeard says, I like that it gives Hook more of a reason to stand on his own without having to feud with the ops, which would have turned him heel and keep him face while being a lone wolf. Yeah, because very clearly they want Hook to be a baby face, but yeah. the ops wasn't a good fit. So I thought this was I don't want to say a good fit. It's just, it got adjusted. And yeah, I mean, they had to make sense of this.
They had to make sense of it because because you know, time waits for no man. When Hook went out, there was stuff they were going to do. Now, if he had not gotten hurt, they probably wouldn't have been the trio's champs with him. But I think that Hobbs works really well for that group too. Let's not forget the reason that this thing that they were even a trio to begin with was because of the amazing backstage segments. Where they would be repartee between Samoa Joe and Hook, like two hitmen going to a yep. job, and then they had Samoa Joe calls Shibata speak and spell, because he's a personal cameraman, and you hear Google Translate saying things from behind the camera. Those things were amazing. I hope we can get back to those things eventually, but. I think that trio worked. I do. I think that the trio of Hobbs included instead of Hook also works. There isn't an eight-man tag team belts. So you got to pick one. And I think that Hook can easily branch out on his own. I love the idea of him being like ladies' man Batman. With like, you know, yeah. tell the girls I'm back in town as I stroll up and beat up somebody. I think that really works for him too.
Brie Marie, thank you for the super chat. If you do have a comment, just leave it in the comments below and Luis will pick it up and we will read it. Cause I realize that sometimes when people send these, they aren't able to send a super chat or it messes up or something like that. So if that was the case, or if you just want to leave a couple comments or whatever, we will read them on the air. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. But yeah, Gabe Kidd, we don't know where he is.
We don't know where he is, no.
Jambeard says, wait, Sean's a fan of Dropout, so when does the Brendan Lee Mulligan interview drop? I have long thought about doing like a series of interviews that are just stuff I want to do, but also I try to remember some very good advice I got. I think it was from Chris Van Vliet that says, if you do a podcast about everything, you do a podcast for nobody. And it's like, you know, it's a very good point. Like, I would love to interview Paul Holes, who did a lot of the investigating on the Golden State Killer. I don't know how much of my audience would give a shit about that, right? Like, I don't know how many people want to see me interview yeah. Bip Roberts as much as I would love right. to do that. But I'm always open to doing things like that. I got a lot of great guests coming up on The Hump. By the way, guys, if you guys missed it, I had Andrew Baydala on today. Jimmy's taking a hiatus. I got Tom Campbell from Cultaholic next week. Denise Salcedo of Who Gives a Shit the week after that. Mm-hmm. I've got, who else? Luke Owen coming up very soon. I got Frank the Clown the day that his show on Fox drops. Mm. Got Ibu returning to Fightful in October. We've got Simon Miller, I think, for one of the first times ever on Fightful.
Wow.
Got a pretty good slate, by God. And a couple others that I cannot announce yet. But one thing I can announce is that NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to be really helpful for a lot of wrestling fans, Alex, especially pay-per-view buyers who want to spend, I don't know, half on pay-per-views.
Yep.
And here you go, guys. Here's the deal. You just download the app after you get the subscription, phone, desktop, whatever. You change your virtual location. I change it to a place like Canada, to a place like the UK, where you know it's still got English-speaking languages for whenever I go to websites.
Right.
Buy the pay-per-view at that price. Or if it's WWE content, watch all the WWE content with a Netflix subscription. Netflix is so chill about that. NordVPN.com/Fightful. It's a great deal now. 2 years and 4 free months. But it's a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you're just like, man, I want to try this out because I don't get ESPN Unlimited, but I don't know if I want to keep it, just try it out. It equates to a couple bucks a month anyway, but you get a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they have a wealth of other things over at NordVPN.com/Fightful on other tiers that are not that much more expensive, from the threat protection, all that stuff, the encryption tool. But most importantly to me, they got 24/7 tech support, because I've had a number of you guys say, hey, Sean, how do I do this? They'll help you, or you can search NordVPN on our website, and we've got a bunch of tutorials there to help you out as well. NordVPN.com/Fightful. It's taking over the wrestling world. If you're a wrestling fan, listen, I see the Fightful Select exit surveys that say my financial situation changed. This is how you can change your financial situation as a wrestling fan. Pretty Peter Avalon wrestled on Dropout last year. He is a very funny human being. I did an interview with him a couple years ago, and I really enjoyed that. I would love to talk to him again. So let's talk about the pay-per-view news. As Brie Maurice has just wanted to show you all some love. Thank you all so much.
Thank you,
Brie. That means a lot. We really appreciate that. But
yeah, boys,
at FightfulSelect.com on the free tier, I gave this one away because I knew that AEW was going to talk about it a couple minutes later. But we broke the news that AEW All Out would be on HBO Max. Our dude Andrew Zarian had given us the heads up last week that news was coming. But it's going to be at a $10 discount, which I think is like okay if you subscribe to Max, but it's nothing incredible. If I were them,
if you subscribe to Max already for other things, $10 off. I mean, it's certainly not the fantastic deal you can get with NordVPN.
With NordVPN, yeah.
However, but it is. It's $10 is $10.
Yeah, I
order
do
a
think
pizza with
that
the extra $10. I don't know.
I do think that if you approach things the way that I know that a lot of streamers do about wrestling, because I've had these conversations with people that work for these outlets or these distributors or venues, mediums, whatever the hell you want to call it. Wrestling is one of those few things, along with sports and a couple other things, that brings in a unique audience that may not already have HBO Max or Netflix. There are people who just watch wrestling.
I get it.
There's a whole lot of people. But I'm like, you know, I really think the specific cost of whatever your tier was for Max deducted is something that could have been employed. If you really want to encourage Max, it would be like 15, 20, just something to be like, hey, here you go.
Right.
Or if you sign up for a full year, maybe you get one pay-per-view for free during that period, like something of that nature. Now, I had people say, well, they should have gotten on a platform that just has them on the platform for free. And I'm like, well, they're selling a million plus pay-per-views a year.
That's part of their business model is the pay-per-view buys.
So just the HBO Max element, how'd you feel about that?
It's just handy for if you watch AEW weekly on HBO Max, which I do, like a lot of other people do, then it's just handy that's the same place you go to watch the pay-per-views. Yeah. And it's $10 cheaper. I mean, if you are spending the full 50 to watch all the pay-per-views already, on top of the HBO Match subscription. Now it's a 40 on top of it. I mean, it's not ideal, but it's something. And I think it's better that it's on HBO Max. And this can be the first step towards something later. As you said, like, what if there was an HBO Max tier that included the pay-per-views? Like, it's not like it's like you don't feel like you're spending twice a month. You're spending more for your Max subscription, but it includes the pay-per-views. Like, is that something they could figure out a way to get into? But I mean, I'm fine with it. I think that more ways for people to watch the pay-per-views is a good thing.
Well, also big news that we announced on FightfulSelect.com free tier. All Out will be at 3 p.m. Eastern. Now, as a part of that report, I had reported that the success of Forbidden Door in the afternoon, following the success of All In the afternoon, made them go, okay, this wasn't a one-off. This wasn't like a fluke. Like, we can succeed on pay-per-view in the afternoon, where a whole lot of pay-per-view properties in the past did not. Like, it wasn't some significant hit. And clearly they feel that the positives of going on unopposed to what is going to be a huge WWE show with Brock Lesnar, with AJ Lee coming back per FightfulSelect.com. Those positives outweigh the negatives. So there are some people that are frustrated. They feel like AEW backed down. To me, I don't give a damn. I mean, I do give a damn. I'm excited because I don't have to focus on two shows at once. Like, it's going to be a long day, but how are you feeling?
I mean, the not focusing on two shows at once is a plus for me, but separate of the WWE thing, I grew up on the West Coast.
Sure.
So when I was in my late teens, early 20s, and every pay-per-view that WWE and WCW were doing, mostly it was WWE by that point, because I think we only got to see like maybe one or two WCW pay-per-views before they shut down. But we would go over to this one guy's house. He would get the pay-per-view. We'd all pitch in money. We'd get a couple of pizzas, and we'd start watching at 4 p.m. And we were done by a reasonable time, and we all went home, and that was it. Like, to me, like, I grew up, I cut my teeth watching pay-per-views during the late afternoon. This feels like home to me. So, like, I really enjoy that time of day to partake in it, especially if you're going to be doing these in arenas where it's dark anyway. The outdoor afternoon pay-per-views, the ones that WWE does on the West Coast or whatever, those can kind of feel weird watching it during the daylight, like you're some kind of vampire. But this makes sense to me on a level of watching them earlier feels right to me.
Yeah.
Especially when it's going to go also,
10 hours.
Also, yeah.
They might overlap WrestlePalooza.
That's the thing too, is that just for that reason, it's much better for a 6-hour show to go off the air at 9 p.m. than at 1 a.m. You know what I mean? Like, that's better. So I like that more.
And I have tried to communicate this, especially to AEW and some of the people there, the higher ups. All due respect to Tony Khan, he is not taking public transit. And if you run your shows past midnight, there's a lot of public transit that is not available or shuts down. And you put your fans in a very unfortunate position. I think that was honestly a big disconnect for him and Arthur Ashe as well. I don't feel like he's made that mile plus walk at midnight after an Arthur Ashe taping to the public transit and then waited for 30, 40 minutes on the public transit. I don't feel like he has had to worry about the money spent on Memorial Day weekend in Las Vegas.
Right.
Which is one of the more expensive weekends to travel.
Yeah.
So I'm glad some changes are being made there. Dante says, I don't think maybe moving the pay-per-view earlier was a good idea because it sets a precedent. And I think people who want to watch AEW wouldn't change the channel. I mean, does it sort of set a precedent? Yes. But also what I think AEW will start to do, and you may have seen it with the Wrestle Dream promotion, I didn't notice a time for the Wrestle Dream promotion.
Right.
So I think they're just going to kind of wait and see.
Play it by ear.
Play it by ear.
I mean, I think also if you want to do a thing where it is competition, whatever, it's like, okay, we're not going to stand in your way if you're doing your big Wrestlepalooza thing. However, once we're done, follow that. Try to follow that. Like, there's something along the lines of where we don't want people to, like, you know, have to choose or whatever. Like, fine, we'll give it to you. You can have the evening. We're going to completely rule over the afternoon. We're going to go into your will start while our main event is going on. No one's checking out of our main event to go watch your preliminary stuff. That is the statement that they are making. And I also feel like it is.
Oh, that's why I think they'll kick off with like Cody versus Drew or something.
Right. That's fine. Yeah. I think that, and they probably will, but I think that it is also, to me, people can watch earlier and they don't have to, you know, worry about going to bed at 2 a.m. Like that's a good thing anyway.
Speaking of earlier, someone hit me up and they said, here's a good idea. Just post the Hot Rod show right after this. Okay, I will. I will set it to premiere, or not premiere. It will be available at 11:15 p.m. Eastern tonight, which right. We might still be on the air. Then we got a lot of super chats. But if you guys want to stay up and watch a 2.5-hour Hot Rod review, Fightful's the place to be.
You can.
Jambeard says, since HBO seems to be very happy with AEW, do you think in the future they could do a deal to bring CMLL and New Japan to also stream on HBO? Honestly, that sounds like a really good idea. I hadn't even considered that whatsoever, but if I were WBD and I saw some really like good inroads for at least English language stuff, I would consider that. Yeah, I could absolutely see something like that becoming a thing if it is. And listen, I'll tell you, the biggest thing would be if AEW, if wrestling got its own tab on HBO Max.
Yeah.
That would be really huge. I mean, I actually think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Brian, and honestly, it'd be incredibly cost effective for WBD. To do what Access did and just lay some American commentary or some English commentary over it.
It's true.
Why not? Yeah. Brian more or less says, well, we had it and then that shit went away. There we go. Says, glad the show is earlier since the shows are so long, but would prefer it to be just be shorter. Well, hear me out, Brian, more or less. How about both? How about a 3-hour pay-per-view that starts in the afternoon?
I'll take 4 hours. I'll even take 4 hours as opposed to five.
That clash in Paris felt every bit of that 4 hours to me.
Oh boy.
Felt like it was a lot. But you know, they did 6 matches instead of 5. What are you gonna do, right? What are you gonna do?
We can't.
Thomas says, well, their move to 3 p.m. hurt many people who didn't make plans to get into Toronto that early. So I asked Andrew Baydala today, and he doesn't think there's going to be like a refund facilitation situation. But I would imagine if the time gets changed and people say, well, my flight was X amount of time, like WTF, which I got to be honest, if you were trying to cut it that close going into Toronto, that's dangerous anyway. Like you probably need to be there in the morning, but there are still a lot of people that do that. I would imagine they would be given refunds. I would imagine. Jay Farley says, for longtime listener, first time humper. I wonder if anybody else noticed a ton of companies now advertising on HBO Max when AEW first started streaming there. It was one or two, if that. Numbers must be pretty decent for that. I appreciate y'all. So I was watching on the fight feed or the Triller feed, so I didn't notice. So let me know what some of them that are. I will go watch that feed just to check it out.
I mean, it's a lot of this like national brands and stuff that are they're every time there's a break, you'll get maybe 20 seconds of the, you know, the stream will return shortly or whatever that they play on there. but mostly it's just national brand commercials for like all the stuff you would normally see if you were watching it on cable.
Brian, my name is Brian Moore, less, not Brian Moore and less. Well, I mean, sure. Sure. I understand. You got to live the gimmick, brother. Got to live the gimmick.
Yeah.
Spidey Boy Eli says, as a huge Dropout fan, Danielle Radford, who appears on Dropout fairly regularly as a host, has one of the best wrestling podcasts out there. Tights and Fights. Sean, you'd rock a Sam Reich suit. You know what? I'm going to go check that out. Tights and Fights. I haven't heard of that, but you know what? I'm a big Dropout fan and supporter, and I would love to check that out. So I'm going to go do that, by God. Not before I watch the replay of the Hot Rod review, but hey.
Right. Hey.
We get this Daniel Garcia Mox video package. Parker says, does Danny need to lose or win to Mox? I think he needs to win. When is this match? Have they said when the match is going to be?
Saturday.
Again?
Saturday.
Okay, Saturday. If this were after the Derby match, I would think that maybe he wins. But like as Moxley loses to Darby, then loses to Daniel.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It sure seemed for a while that the heel turn from Danny Garcia was inevitable. But the way that they're doing it now, I like that it feels way more open-ended. Like, he's just frustrated. The promo he cut after the most recent loss to Moxley. Like all the heroes swoop in and they save the day. But where were they at the beginning? If they had been there to help us, all the kids, I was standing in the parking lot waiting for the Death Riders on the Dynamite after they tried to murder Bryan Danielson. Where were all of these heroes who swooped in at the end? Where was Swerve? Where was Hangman? They weren't there to help us. And if they had been, maybe we could have gotten rid of these guys earlier. But I'm still here, and I'm still fighting. Because, you took his title, but he's still here, and he's still messing with everybody. So we got to get him out of there, and I'm not going away until I do it. Like, that felt like that. You could feel that coming from Danny Garcia. That did not feel put on. That felt like it was coming from his soul. And I appreciate that Moxley also knows this guy's really talented. There's a reason why at the very beginning of the BCC, Danielson mentioned three names. Yuta, who they eventually got, Moriarty, and Danny Garcia. There was a reason why he picked him out. That was years ago when Danny Garcia wasn't this. And he said, okay, we want to try and get that guy. Mox heard that. That never left Mox's ears. So he's like realizes what an asset that guy would be to the Death Riders. And Moxley's manipulative enough to think that if he can just pour a little honey in his ear, maybe he'll switch over to the bad guy side. And maybe eventually Danny Garcia does. But I like that Danny Garcia is going into this match feeling like, I gotta beat Moxley. I'm gonna do it. One more time. And if he doesn't, does that lead him to, you can't beat him, join him? And if he does beat Moxley, what does that do to Moxley if he's got a match coming up to Darby Allin, Good stuff.
Mercedes defeated Alex Windsor. There is an incredible shot in Mercedes' entrance with all the belts over the ropes.
Yeah.
And then her posing in front of them. And I continue to say this about Alex Windsor. She didn't win this match, and that's okay. But ever since she got brought in, she has been portrayed as on the level of the top talent in AEW. Matthew Hook said, we'll talk about Riho momentarily, but really good match. Apron powerbomb that looked good. I liked Mercedes pulling the hair out of the sharpshooter to get in the Moneymaker.
Mm-hmm.
They had immediate chemistry. Really dug this. And then afterwards, Windsor laid the attack, but Mercedes got the upper hand and Riho is back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, listen, WWE counter programs AEW, and Tony's like, I got one for you, Triple H. Mm-hmm. And he sees the PTSD meme in his head.
Yeah.
Riho is back after, at long last, hasn't been there all year. Matthew Hook says, you got to give Riho wins first. Luis says that the TBS title is the open challenge title. It's not the,
it's not the open challenge.
They don't say it is the open challenge title. They have just done that.
Women have women have gotten title shots without getting wins before, and I've not liked it every time they've done it.
Yes, correct. Same. So I would like Mercedes to say, no, you got to go earn that shit and, you know, sell a little bit for Riho there. Meet Norma says this is for puppet appreciation and Alex's mental health. In a week, he's reviewing Freddie Got Fingered, and TK decides to have Darby and Riho run in the same night. Tonight was brought to you by Anarchy. Alex, how you feeling?
I love this match. I particularly loved that they at 10 minutes, they told us 10 minutes left in the match. And then they didn't go to the time limit draw. Now, I coming into this match, thought, because specifically Mercedes called out Alex Winza, and then Alex Winza on Saturday said, I want a match with you next on Dynamite, and they're doing it now. And it certainly looks like there's nobody else for Mercedes to face at All Out. I thought this was going to a time limit draw, and then we would just do the rematch, but like make it a submission match at All Out. And honestly, I would have greatly preferred that to what we're actually getting.
Which is confirmed, Riho versus Mercedes. And I'm like,
they announced that later. Yeah.
Just like, have Mercedes say, no, you got to beat somebody. And Riho says, fine. And then beat somebody on Collision.
Yeah, it's super easy to do.
The person that you just brought back, give her a win, then announce the match immediately.
Yeah, there's basically have Mercedes say, no, you can't get a title shot. Beat somebody first. And then Tony Khan announces on Collision, Riho has a match. It's against somebody that would feel like important that she beat her. And then she does. And then Tony Khan immediately announces the title match because she did what you wanted her to do, Mercedes. I'm not a fan of somebody who's been away from the company for the entirety of the year that we're currently in, coming in and just getting a title match. I don't care what they've done in the past. Riho's never been my cup of tea. But aside from that, I don't like the precedent of somebody just shows up and gets a title match. They should always do something to earn it, aside from run in and save Alex Winza, who, as far as I know, we've never established a relationship between her and Riho. So Riho just running in like, well, you couldn't get the job done, so I will. I don't like that from anybody. I do think that Mercedes and Riho, like, they're the perfect type of women to have the match against each other, because there's been a lot said about Mercedes seems too small to hit some of her moves on larger women. That's not going to be a problem with Riho.
No. And
I would say that, like, Riho never looks like she does any damage to anybody in matches that I watch. But absolutely against Mercedes, for sure, they're nearly the same size.
I wouldn't say nearly. I've seen, maybe Mercedes was wearing heels when I saw yes. her, but I did see that one segment.
I will say that I think they're gonna beat the crap out of each other.
I do too.
And I think because they recognize they're not gonna get hurt in when the receipts come, they're gonna beat the hell out of each other. And I think that honestly, it's gonna make for the best possible match between the two of them. I think it will be a very good match. I just don't like the precedent being set of shows up after 6 months away or however 8 months, 10 months away, and here you go, here's your title match. I don't like that.
Jambeard says, don't forget the ending shot after the Death Riders took out Brian was of Darby, Garcia, Hook, OC. Only one left to return to come after them. Well, your boys at FightfulSelect.com reported that Orange Cassidy is close to returning, or I was told sooner than later. Tony Storm calls out the entire women's division, and she says something like, God won't judge you. That's for me to do. But she is like begging for competition. She's like, I want some competition, damn it.
It should be Bozilla.
Yeah.
Bozilla should both like if we don't have a match for her, there's no program. She hasn't been like hovering around anybody. I love the idea of Bozilla coming in and beating the crap out of Tony Storm.
You know what would be a great way? Tony Storm next week comes out and says, last week I asked somebody to step up. Nobody did. And then Bozilla comes out and just gets in Tony's face, and Tony just goes, shit, and leaves.
I could absolutely see her doing that exact thing.
Then graphic.
So she just says, well, me and my big mouth. You know, like, that would be really funny. That'd be really funny.
And then they put up the graphic, matches set. There you go. That's all you need.
Yeah.
1916 Batman says, puppets can't wait. Well, you're going to have to till late October, because that's when they're coming.
Coming from Bulgaria.
So. Yeah, they're coming from Bulgaria. Oh, man. Ricochet and Gates of Agony call out Hurt Syndicate for Toronto, and Hurt Syndicate accept, including MVP, who is in his second match in AEW. I thought both of these promos were really good. Hurt Syndicate still very over. I thought this was really good. And also, I think this is the right role for Hurt Syndicate, because, again, one of the issues many people in the company had with the Hurt Syndicate was they were heels that beat up everybody but got babyface cheers and would slap five of people on the way back. Now they can just be big badass babyfaces that beat people up.
Yeah. I think it could really rule. I think it's great. I love this. And this is the thing that I honestly, man, I loved the idea. I pitched it very early of GOA as Ricochet's guys, but I didn't want them to just be his stooges. I didn't want them to be his henchmen. And I'm so happy they've created this relationship, at least outwardly, of like, no, we're nobody's goons anymore. Like, we nobody's backup, we're nobody's security. This is the three of us are together, because Khan cuts a really good promo, and I love Leona. Like, his promo style is really, really great in short bursts. And Ricochet is just, he's, hey man, that guy was just, not only was he under the, like, he can't cut a promo thing, but the problem was that this character he was playing of, like, an unmasked Spider-Man just doing stuff and like, wow, isn't it great? Doing it for the kids. Like, I don't know what kind of great promos you could be cutting when that's the character. But this guy, he has been a revelation as this character. Everything he's doing, whether it's in the ring or on the mic, has been perfect. And the three of them are excellent. My thing is that I love the Hurt Syndicate, but I don't want them cutting into the momentum of Ricochet and GOA, because they're tremendous and they can go really far here in the next 6 months. If Will's out for a long time and Swerve's out for a long time, like, you, or maybe not a long time, but long enough, like, Ricochet come stepping up to fill the void, and GOA could easily become tag champs within there as well. I love it.
Meet Norma says, what's stronger, Bulgarian puppets or Japanese tables? I hope it's the Bulgarian puppets, even though Japanese tables are very strong, because with the amount that I'm spending, they should be good quality. They look like they are. Brian more or less says, the demand has such great chemistry. Yeah, I would agree. D-Matic the producer. Oh, buddy, I got to debunk you. I appreciate the super chat, but he says, want to get NordVPN, but didn't know the subscription was close to $100. That is loaded. What are you, a Surfshark op? Are you a Surfshark psyop? It is for 28 months, and it is $83.43 for 28 months. That is $2.98 a month. I can do the math right now. And a 30-day money-back guarantee. Think about that. $2.98 a month, and you don't got to pay $30 for ESPN Unlimited. You got the cable package, whatever, or whatever you need to get whatever else, Peacock for NXT, paper, PLEs, yada, yada. And one pay-per-view, it's like half off. It's like 20 there. Come on. That's a plant. I see the PSYOP here. Spidey,
I think that the costs get really offset when you recognize how little you have to pay for stuff once you're once you're getting all of WWE through one Netflix subscription, all that kind of stuff, you end up saving money. It pays for itself long before that 28 months is up.
No need for Peacock. No need for the cock anymore.
No more. No need.
Spider-Boy Eli says, speaking of Hurt Syndicate, I'll keep saying it until it happens. I want the Costco guys to join them. We need the Rizzler and MVP and matching suits. I mean, they could just do that anyway. They don't got to go make an angle of it. like Jesus. Oh my God. N. Simmons says Ricochet promos have stepped up. He sounds confident speaking. Hope to see this live. That being said, Hurt Syndicate is in the wrong. Ricochet has actual gripes at them. He trusted them and they played him. Ricochet has always had legitimate gripes as a heel. He
100%.
I had somebody after I think I said it on the air that I felt like it felt like the pro wrestling version of Kerry when he got all the toilet paper thrown on him and he's just standing there like that. And somebody sent me a message and they go, yes, that is what it is. Like it was not to be morbid, but it was developing a psychotic episode out of that.
So great.
Like, out of him being bullied.
Yeah, man. It was like when it happened, that was like, what a fantastic origin story for a supervillain. Mm-hmm. Is that particular moment, man. Great.
Mark Briscoe calls out Don Callis. He'll face Takeshita on Collision. But also, Okada's got some issues with Takeshita. Boy, is that a big one waiting in the wings.
It is.
At some point, you're like, how many more dream matches are there? And it's like, there's some that they're clearly saving, like Cody and Punk in WWE. They're saving that for a little something, like a big one, right?
Right.
Okada and Takeshita is very clearly to say, Okada's been the biggest Japanese star for the last 15 years. You are about to be the biggest one of the next decade.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great. I think that you can easily slow burn it for a while. I liked the little interview with Okada saying, I'm the big dog around here. Just very confident, very calm about it. He knows he plays second fiddle to me. And obviously Takeshi's not going to like that. And I like this a lot. This is the thing is that if we are thinking that Takeshita is becoming the IWGP heavyweight champion, you know what I mean? Like, are we waiting for him to have that title? So it's a title for title thing, or maybe it's just like neither title is on the line. It's just for bragging rights, or like, how are we doing that? Is Takeshita fighting Okada before he becomes IWGP heavyweight champion? You know, if we're thinking that he's actually going to do it, I think this is really great. I think that there is that Callis has built such a fantastic big stable. Mm-hmm. That there's room for multiple stories within it is good. It's really good.
Boy, has the view of Don Callis family changed over the last few months to where it was just like a stable. It seemed like they put everybody in and now they added a couple pieces and everything really came together. I do want to see progression on Wardlow. I do not want to see him as a guy just standing around. Brian more or less says Ricochet could actually get away with the You People promo, and I would totally agree with him. Yeah, I think there are very few people that can. I thought that heel John Cena could because people legitimately were garbage to him for a long time, and I think Ricochet could as well. Yeah. Mark Briscoe defeated Lance Archer, who stepped up. There was great tope con Hilo. Every time I see Mark Briscoe do that, I'm like, how does he walk upright? Like, he's got to be hurting.
Yeah.
Archer with a great buckle bomb. He like choke slam and Uranagi'd Briscoe onto every platform he could find. But Briscoe gets the win. And I think this type of match is very important because you always put Briscoe in these like miscellaneous kind of important spots. And he's got to win matches to be a part of those.
He's got to win matches. His match versus Takeshita is a very interesting one to me. I mean, if we're thinking that it's a Briscoe versus MJF at All Out, which certainly looks like it could be, is it MJF that costs Briscoe this match so that Takeshita doesn't take a loss because you want Briscoe staying hot but you know, he gets protected if MJF costs him the match. I certainly don't want Takeshita taking a pinfall loss after winning the G1 before he gets anywhere. He should stay really, really hot, Takeshita. So we'll see how they do this, but obviously they have a lot of plans for Briscoe going forward. But this MJF thing is, it took a week off. We didn't hear from MJF this week. We don't know what he's doing. He's biding his time, which means to me like it's a perfect opportunity on a live collision for MJF to you know, to show up and do a little something to get a little even.
Eloquent says, where's Ace Austin been? Well, I mean, he just debuted. I would like more follow-up immediately for some talent when they pop up, but I would love to see Ace Austin in with the Bang Bang Gang immediately. Yeah. Yeah. He was been a member of the Bullet Club. It makes sense. Bullet Club America. I would like that an awful lot. Chris Statlander and Harley had a promo, and they haven't named their team, but Chris has accepted that they are a team.
Yes.
And Harley goes, and that's why we want to challenge Brodito. And Chris is like, no shit. Cut that out. Harley,
settle down, Harley.
Oh, good. Yeah, she's like, settle down there. Nico Suavergoli says, I was just thrown in here to be, I know it was just thrown in to be funny, but I'd pay a great amount of money to watch Harley and Stat challenge Brodito. Also, I don't think I've seen Renee laugh that hard on camera since Tony Storm first screamed Thunder Tits. I mean, sincerely, like if it was an exhibition match at the tailgate for sure. All Out.
Yeah.
I think that it could be wildly entertaining seeing Chris Statlander pick up Brody King and then watch Bandido base for all of Harley Cameron's lucha shit.
That could be fun.
I think that would be very fun.
Yes.
You know how Matt Jackson does the rolling Northern Lights? Bandido would have Harley Cameron doing rolling Mexican destroyers.
Yes. Yeah.
Basing for her is what he would do.
It would.
But Yuta tells Steph that the Death Riders have her back and Marina shows up. I continue to be fascinated by Chris Statlander and the Death Riders interactions.
I kind of like that there's a parallel here. Mm-hmm. That Mox seems to be recruiting both Danny Garcia and Statlander. He's been doing it with Statlander for longer, but that seems to be what he's doing here. Like, Wheeler delivering a message saying the Death Riders have your back. And Marina Shafir is there, and she's not as cordial of a messenger as Wheeler Yuta is. And sadly, you can tell our friend that I got his message. I don't think it's possible for both of them to accept the recruit, and I don't think it's possible for both of them to say no, which why I think ultimately it's going to be Garcia that turns and actually joins up forces with Moxley. But because I think Statlander won't. But I really enjoyed this backstage. I also really love Wheeler going, well, gotta go wrestle now. Bye. Which was just that tickled me in a certain place. I liked that.
Tom LaValle says, and let Harley hit her finishing move on Brody. God.
Yeah.
So, Brodito then defeated Wheeler and Claudio. Bandido underrated strength doing that, that delayed vertical suplex.
That dude is ridiculously strong for his size.
Yeah. The sunset flip bomb counter was really good out of the power bomb. Brodito is starting to use their double team offense a lot more. Yeah. So we're seeing stuff like the Hurricane Rana into the cannonball.
Yeah.
The giant swing that Claudio does with anybody that goes into the kick is always good. But, of course, Moxley gets involved. Darby saves him. And Brody just starts knocking people out. Bandido gets the win. This is just good shit. Don't need interference all the time. Again, I do think this is a situation almost – parallel to Adam Pearce on Raw, where I'm like, at what point does an authority figure say, let's ban them from ringside in a tag team title match? But fantastic match nonetheless.
Yeah. I want to go back to how concerned I am for the well-being and whereabouts of Gabe Kidd. Because an hour before this, an hour and 20 minutes before this, we saw Darby Allin drag Gabe Kidd away, and then he came back. And maybe I missed it. It's very possible I did. But I think a major talking point at that point from all three announcers should have been, where the hell is Gabe Kidd? Is he okay? Did he leave him at the morgue? What's going on? Because he would just showed up and he neutralized Jon Moxley. He's wherever you don't expect him to be, Darby Allin.
Vicky says SRS and Alex stitches are out. Congratulations, Vicky says, please announce my match versus Marina at a pay-per-view to be determined. What would you think if Mox kicked out Yuta for Darby? Well, that ain't happening. Darby is as much the AEW flag logo as possible. And I mean that as a character and in real life. Like,
yeah,
fewer things matter more to Darby than AEW. Like,
picture Darby as a heel. You know what I mean? Like, he's just, you know what I mean? He's as weird as it is to say about, you know, a half skeleton faced, you know, daredevil skateboarder. He's just so pure. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine him doing that. But I thought you were going to say kicking out Willer Yuta in favor of Danny Garcia, which I could absolutely see, but then go, oh, what does that mean for X, Y, and Z? You know, because Willer Yuta has been a crazy loyal soldier to Moxley this whole time. But Moxley is the kind of guy who says he prizes loyalty, but then he will be disloyal to anybody he needs to be. And he just says, okay, Garcia's my new number one guy. And you know,
kind of like we're seeing with Dominic on Raw, and I thought the babyface turn would happen earlier. Yuta is a very much like the audience loves to hate him now. Yeah. Like they enjoy hating him. And I think eventually they will love to love him as well if they see him getting abused, so to speak. Jambeard says, if AEW does a mixed tag, put Harley with KOR.
Kyle O'Reilly.
Kyle O'Reilly, yeah.
Harley and Kyle O'Reilly. Kylo Harley or whatever. Harlow Kylie. I'm not sure what you call it, but they'd be fantastic.
Well, I'll tell you what's fantastic, my friends. My bookie AG and the code FIGHTFUL get you $50 bonus on your $100 deposit or a $100 bonus on your $200 deposit. Football season is up. I'm pumped. I'm ready. NFL starts on Thursday. I'm excited, man. I'm ready for it. I'm ready to make some bets, by God. And you can do that. You can bet on anything over at MyBookie.ag. You've even got a bunch of prop bets as well. Like, you can bet like winning margins, total passing yard range for Patrick Mahomes, anything and everything over at MyBookie.ag. But not just that, they do have WWE betting as well. So keep in touch regarding the WrestlePalooza results that I would imagine are going to be coming very, very soon. But they have 24/7 tech support as well. So if you need help with that as well, they got you covered. Please only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly. But NFL season, Alex, do you have an NFL team?
I don't. I got into the NFL for a while, and then I quit cold turkey because my wife said I was, my mood during
okay
Sundays was ruining our marriage. So I quit cold turkey. And I've never looked back. So who's good now? I don't know.
Well, hopefully the Bengals are. But like, there are some interesting games out there. Race to the bottom with the Indianapolis Colts and the Miami Dolphins. Pretty close odds there at MyBookie AG. Jets and the Steelers. Probably taking the Steelers there. You got the Jags and the Panthers. Hopefully the Jags, for the sake of AEW's booking, can emerge and do a little bit better this year. But the Cincinnati Bengals, my Cincinnati Bengals, I'll be live reviewing the game on Common Bengals W. They are big favorites at MyBookie.ag. Use that code FIGHTFUL. Terry Allen Jr. says, Mercedes didn't show no agony after the leg attack. I do wish that would have been sold a little bit more. But they went right into the...
They went right into the other thing, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they went right into the Riho thing. You're right, Terry. Cope and Christian, FTR brawl. But then, as a part of splitting this up, which included ROH veteran LSG, it included Jordan Oliver, indie standout. Mm-hmm. You also had Adam Priest in there. And I know many of you will go, who? Adam Priest is his name. I just said it out loud.
Yeah,
so you can Google it if you want. And one of the results that will come up is a FightfulSelect.com report that he is actually not under a contract. He is a free agent. Mm-hmm. He'd been used pretty heavily with the Workhorsemen on ROH, but Deadlock Pro Wrestling Champion, highly touted in the ring. And he gets some shots in on Dax. Yeah. And the crowd starts chanting for Adam Priest, who has zero history on AEW Dynamite, to my knowledge. Maybe like some squashes here and there. This was awesome. This was fun. This was unexpected. I liked it. And Dax was busted open, by the way.
Yeah, he got busted open in a little thing with Christian as they were going back and forth. But I like the idea of, security can't handle it, so we've got the ROH locker room out here.
Yes.
And once they had separated everybody, like just Dax and Cash being angry, and so taking it out on the ROH locker room, but Adam Priest taking exception to that and saying, like, listen, that was uncalled for, so he gets up in their face and they start brawling a little bit. And then I really liked the way that they handled the post brawl promo backstage. I thought that really led really well into it.
And FTR did beat Adam Priest and JD Drake on Collision the other night. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there is some history there, and more time than you would expect out of that match. I think they got about 9 minutes. Lupungi Vice says Adam Priest reminds me a lot of Crash Holly, man. Rest his soul. I bet if Crash Holly was alive right now, that man would be on the most Gangrel ass indie run. You know what I mean? Like, he'd still be working. Like, he'd be working GCW.
Yes.
You know what he'd be doing? He'd be treating indie wrestlers like Hardcore Holly treated WWE wrestlers. Mm. That would be the gimmick. It would be great. Man, 32 years old, he lost Crash Holly. What a bummer. What an entertaining gentleman that was.
Yeah.
We got I Am Crush NC saying DPW World Champ on Dynamite. Yes, sir. Great show. It was a good show. And a part of that good show was this absolutely guano crazy 8-man tag, which kicked off with the Young Bucks getting these guys again nameplate. And then just this unbelievable match. There's quad dives. Kevin Knight got a lot of shine in this. He's does that turnaround jumping clothesline that was good. He countered the rolling Northern Lights. He did that clothesline on the barricade as well. Just a ton of highlights from Kevin Knight. Then the Young Bucks did what is being called the Mbop Drop, which is a fantastic name for the stomp that goes into the powerbomb.
Love that.
But the story of this match beyond that was like the Elite reunion. Even people like Bully Ray was like, damn, this is cool. You know how good it's got to be? Even Bully
Ray. Are we sure he was tweeting about this and not like his burrito that he was eating? You know what I mean? Like,
his Elite burrito. But like, even he was like, damn, that shit's good. this was a moment where people were like, oh, hell. And they did that phenomenal, like, buckshot spot as well. Mm-hmm. But the match ends with, well, first off, Speedball does this poison Rana off, like, the second rope that's unreal. Mm-hmm. But I love that this ends with Fletcher getting the win. Mm-hmm. I love that that's happening where you're saying, hey, this is the guy. By the way, This is going to be one of the guys.
He's the guy
in the ring with Hangman, in the ring with these youngsters, in the ring with the Young Bucks, in the ring with Omega. It's going to be Fletcher, guys. Get ready. He doesn't like thumbtacks in his penis. He told Fightful. This was dope, Alex.
This was very dope. I will say one quick thing that I was in the kitchen making my daughter's lunch for tomorrow when the entrances were happening for this match.
Yeah.
And Roberts is out there doing the introduction.
Justin, not Bip. It's Justin.
Not Bip. Justin Roberts. Yeah. Doing the introductions for the Young Bucks, and no shenanigans auditorially. Like, you didn't hear anything. I was like, okay, I guess they realized maybe the joke was going to get stale. So they just said, okay, we're just fine. They can just say it. No. And then I went back and rewatched it, and I saw the nameplate, and I was like, okay, I like that they're playing around with
yes.
Like, you know, it's not all the things, it's just one thing. He said the name right, but on the thing was like, no, this is not.
And the Young Bucks had to do a $20 meet and greet.
Yes,
today.
In order to pay back all of their credit card fraud malfeasance. I like that a lot. The match was tremendous. All of these eight guys are so great. Like I've been saying, no oral shenanigans. Yes. I've been saying that, like, Kyle Fletcher is so obviously thought of by them as the guy of the future.
Yeah.
That it's you don't want to wait so long that you forego him being the guy of the present. Like, there's a point where, like, he's next up. Show him being next up. And getting the victory here, and then also the post-match stuff of him just taking out Hangman. And before he does the brainbuster to Hangman on the chair, he says, I'm the best champion here. Like, that's the way I've always felt, like, this version of Kyle Fletcher. Once he becomes a TNT champion, he should be like, I'm better than everybody else holding a belt because I'm the proto star. Say my full name, etc. This is great that he goes after him. And then Kenny Omega, who they were, I think, at least before Callis got involved, they were content to, like, toss him aside and take out Hangman. But then Kenny Omega's got to, like, play the hero and cover up Hangman's dead body. And so they're like, well, let's kill him too. Brainbuster that guy through a table on the outside. I also loved when the doctor finally gets to him. Kyle picks up the doc's mic that he wears around his head, yells at it, he's already dead.
Yes.
Like, it's so good stuff.
So I will have some Kenny Omega news on FightfulSelect.com on Thursday.
Fletcher versus Hangman for the world title at All Out, holy crap. Shut up and take my money.
I don't think they should be putting champions in title matches like that. You know what I mean? But also, I'm not going to complain about that type of match ever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Brian more or less says the Elite standoff was so strange. How has that only been 6 years? Feels like so much has happened that I could have never imagined. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have always, like, and now that dream is gone. One of my dream matches was Undisputed Era versus Elite. Never could stay healthy at the same time. And now it's like, I just want to see the Elite also interact with, like, Cody Rhodes again in the future, because we never got that even when he was there. Mm-hmm. But I mean, 6 years, it was less than that. It was, it was like, gosh, four and a half, 5 years. Yeah. Something like that. Oh, man. Chad says Fletcher Hangman is pretty much a perfect match to do against Brock Cena. Show the AEW is focused on the future and the alternative. Hope that is the All Out main event. That would be a big one.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you got their top star, who's a young Hangman by contrast, is a young dude to the top guys on the in the other promotion, and Kyle Fletcher is next up.
Yeah.
So I think it is a fantastic thematic contrast to what they're putting as the main event of the other show as well.
But I think the main event's probably going to be Cope and Christian versus FTR in Toronto.
I mean, I think that you're probably right. But, you know, it's a tag match with nothing on the line. So I will always consider the World Heavyweight Championship
yes.
to be the main event of a pay-per-view, regardless of where it goes on the card.
Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. Irosin says, fantastic showing by Fletcher at the end. Surprise, they're setting up him and Hangman already. Don't want him pinned this soon into his title run. Well, you could simply have him win.
I mean, you could.
They're not going to.
I don't think they're going to, but you know, I think there's a lot of ways to like Kyle Fletcher is absolutely he will have Hangman on the ropes several times during this match. And I think Hangman beats him because he has the experience now that Hangman didn't have 5 years ago. And in 5 years, Kyle Fletcher will, you know, will be a guy who will have the experience in those big, big matches where he won't get rattled. He won't, because I think there's a lot of, I honestly feel like the guy who could cost him the match through micromanaging is Don Callis.
Sure.
Don Callis telling him what to do and that being bad advice. Because I've always said, like, Kyle Fletcher, I don't want him turning babyface, but I think he should be pissed at Don Callis when Don Callis gives him bad info. I think there's also a good way of doing that, too.
Yeah, boys, at FightfulSelect.com reported recently that Kyle Fletcher signed a multi-year big money deal because AEW sees big money in him.
Yeah.
Oscar Rosales says, just spent my 23rd birthday at the 2300 Arena, super fun show, hype for All Out, and potentially Elite Civil War 2. First off, Oscar, happy birthday. I'm glad that you had a good time. I'm also pumped for that show. I am also very intrigued about the Elite. And again, I've got news on Kenny Omega coming Fightful Select on Thursday. But I think that is, you've got these characters that are invested. And I think that this current run of Young Bucks has reinvigorated them from a viewer standpoint. There are a lot of characters, including Jon Moxley, that feel so refreshed. Yeah. Now, Tom LaValle says Hanger is 34. The proto star Kyle Fletcher is 26.
They were talking about Bronson Reed during his match with Roman Reigns as though he was a rookie. This young superstar.
Yes.
Wow. Someday, what could he be? He beat Okada. You know what I mean? Yes. Like we you know. So I think that there's a great thing that we have of Kyle Fletcher being 26 and already being one of the top guys in the world, and what he could be like star wise, not wrestler wise, because wrestler wise is already there, but like household name Kyle Fletcher. My God.
Mike Gim says, any reason Josh Alexander doesn't wear his Maple Leaf Pro belt with the Don Callis family wanting and flaunting their gold? It would have to be a decision within AEW, but also it's like, I don't think you should have every championship, everyone. But yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things where you got to weigh how much do you want to flaunt it and how much do you want to devalue what a championship belt is? Cause everybody knows there are indie championship belts and they have a good relationship, obviously. Alex, opinions on the hologram clone story. Fightful Select reported this has been in the plans for a year. Subscribe. What do you think?
I'm all for it. The story so far that I know of is that it's been announced that Hologram has an evil clone. So far the story has piqued my interest, and we will see now like what goes on from there.
It's one of those things where I'm like, okay, WWE did do this with Sin Cara years ago.
Yeah. I've been of the opinion that if you're going to have that long of a win streak for Hologram, he's got to lose eventually.
Yeah.
I do think
lose to himself.
It would be better for him to lose a title match to somebody, like give him a title match for the TNT title versus Kyle Fletcher and he comes close to winning, but he loses to Kyle Fletcher, who we all agree is the next big guy in AEW. I'd rather see him lose a title match than lose to his clone. You know what I mean?
So, well, you know what Kimbo Slice once said? Sometimes you realize that the enemy is the inner me.
Kimbo Slice did say that.
He said that once.
Yeah.
Meat Norma says, I have beef ribs on the bottom rack with pork belly meat sweating from the top rack because I'm a meat sicko, which begs the question, Alex, would you like some sausage?
I would. I will never turn down sausage. Sausage is delightful.
Meat Norma.
Like when Tom Green's asking his dad if he wants sausage, the whole thing just gets nipped in the bud. If the dad says, yes, I would love some sausage.
Just move on. Yeah. And listen, that I'm very excited for you to see how that makes sense. Meet Normus, you told me where you are geographically, but like Meet Normus at this point, like whenever I come to your city, buddy, you got to cook for me, friend. Do I remember you being near DC?
Yeah, he's in Virginia.
Listen, if the Bengals play in DC, I'm trying to go to at least one away game a year. I will make the trip and then I will eat your meat. Nico Swapper Goalie says, will you please tell us now who pitched a hair versus hair, the hair versus hairless match? God, listen, it's been 3 weeks since I gotta put some healthy time in between that. I can't do that. And he says, I need to know what Alex and Luis read in that private chat that made them laugh so hard. I can't. What I can do is with every super chat, I can give you some semblance of a tip because I can't give a lot, but yes, I will give you a hint. Yeah. It is a name that you would not be surprised to hear pitch something like that.
Right. Yeah.
But when you hear the name eventually, you will be satisfied by that. Mm-hmm. Correct, Alex?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
Me, Norma says, I have a friend in Lexington I didn't have to go see. Listen, come on out. Come on out, by God.
Yeah.
Alex, tell the people where they can find you besides Fightful.com that has, you know, a wealth of stuff. I'll do you one. You can see Alex right now because 20 minutes ago, the Hot Rod review went up on Fightful.
Yeah.
Rafael Garcia. I will send Luis to find this right now if it's there.
You can find me on all of the media's social, over at Alex Sauer Graps. And you can find me on Fightful Select, reviewing Raw on Mondays with Kate, and Fridays reviewing SmackDown, such as it is, by myself. Reviewing all the pay per views on the weekends, and on Tuesdays on this very channel. You can see me reviewing NXT. And next Thursday, a week from tomorrow, you will be seeing me review Freddie Got Fingered with Kate.
Also, on FightfulSelect.com, I will be publishing Alex and Kate's notes.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably before as a way to hype this up. I'm sure that'll retain some subscribers.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
We have a couple more super chats. Black Phoenix brand, or Humper Chats rather, says, love Phoenix, or loved Ricochet referencing his WWE history with the Hurt Syndicate. I forgot all about it. Bravo. That was a very nice touch.
Yeah.
That was a very nice touch. And Raphael says, Dynamite could have been terrible. I don't care. The most dangerous person to ever wield a pipe has returned. They tried to counter program with Bork. Until they found out the one who outdrew Bork. I don't care what people say. Riho dethrones Monet, Catlander, and Brodido. How can I end on anything better than that? For those that don't remember the Wednesday Night War lore, Riho would consistently outdraw NXT in the viewership. Like, it was wild and baffling.
Yes.
And she ended the Wednesday Night Wars. But guys, if you didn't check out the Hump today, please check it out. I think you guys are going to enjoy the guest hosts that I have lined up. Please support that. But look at me. I'm begging you show up for this Freddy Got Fingered review. Don't let this be a failure. If I mean anything to you, if I mean anything to you, show up.
Yeah.
I'm going to be doing an intro. I've got an intro set up. I'm going to be doing a short history of Tom Green. Good, I will be jumping in here and there to add some important thoughts. Yeah. And you can watch Freddy Got Fingered on Amazon Prime Video. Yes. Yes. Also, I have been informed by Kate. I need to tell you all about the Fightful Awards. You can get ahead of sponsoring those right now by contacting myself, Fightful, or Kate. It's like $100 per award. You get an ad read. You get to present whatever award that you want. Also, you get social mentions as well. And it helps us show the great talent that sacrifice their bodies how much we care about them, because we do spend quite a bit on these awards. Tom LaValle says, my notification is on for that. 90-minute AEW review, like old times. Now go spend 2.5 hours watching the Hot Rod review. Fightful.com. Our site is redesigned. You all will love it. We're out.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.